Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Beyond the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you once again for the breath of life. We thank you once again for the Shabbat day. It's time that you have. We ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly, and that you hear our prayers for us. Father, thank you once again for the gift of life. Thank you for seeing us through this week, Father, giving us the strength to overcome, Father, those obstacles which our adversary has set in our way. Thank you for all the lessons, all the lessons that we learned this week, Father. Grow us and edify us and strengthen us mentally, physically, spiritually. Father, we ask that you continue to heal us, those who need healing. However it is, you need to heal them, Father, according to your will. Thank you for bringing our brother Kevin through, allowing him to recover, continue to strengthen him, and bring him back to his fullness. Father, we just thank you for this time that you set before us. Chastising us, we go to the left and to the right. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your understanding. We just thank you, Father. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. By Shalom family. It's your brother Daywell. And we're going to continue from last week. God, man playing God. When Yahweh made everything, he made this ecosystem. It was to sustain itself. When he made man, he made everything to sustain itself, life within itself. He gave the tree seed, the grass seed, plant seed, that they may self-replicate. Same thing with the birds and the beasts, everything is to be made after its own kind. And it was to produce after its own kind. But like we was talking about last week, with this GMO thing, genetic modification, genetic engineering, as it's called, now you're messing with the species. And man then got it to the point where he's in crossbred species. So, and one of the things that comes to mind is the liger, you know, where it's part lion, part tiger, which on its own won't breed together. You know, a lion is not going to lay with a tiger. But they took some mastery over both, more than likely embryos from over both, and crossbred them. So today I want to read something that happened. This actually happened back in 2019, where, if y'all remember, the Zika virus was out. So what they did was, and when I say they, I mean scientists, they took and they crossbred, genetically modified male mosquitoes. Right? Because if you remember, people were dying from the Zika virus, the West Nile virus, and such other things. And it was this one particular mosquito that kind of carried them all. And it was called Aedes, and you can see the word Egypt in that name. Right? So I'm going to read this. This is coming from the Guardian. I forget the name of the magazine, but I'll get it for y'all. Back in 2019, it was Aedes aegypti mosquitoes spread viruses, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya. Aedes mosquito. Oh, this comes off the CDC. Center Disease Control. Aedes mosquitoes are common throughout many areas of the United States. Aedes aegypti mosquitoes can be genetically modified and used to control other Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in the community. In the United States, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has authorized use of OX5034 genetically modified Aedes aegypti mosquitoes for release in counties in Florida and Texas. So they genetically modified these mosquitoes, and they literally released them in certain parts of Florida, in certain parts of Texas, where they're hot places. You know, mosquitoes were lighting people up down there with these different diseases. It says, this EPA authorization allows local mosquito control programs to evaluate how effective GM mosquitoes are in reducing aegypti mosquitoes in areas where there has been release. Now, this is what they did. It says, only the female mosquitoes bite. They need a blood meal to produce eggs. It says the male mosquitoes do not bite. They feed on nectar from flowers. So what they did was, says genetically modified mosquitoes are mass-produced in the laboratory to carry two types of genes. It says a fluorescent marker gene that glows under a special red light. This allows researchers to identify GM mosquitoes from wild mosquitoes. Now, this is what they did. A self-limiting gene that prevents female mosquitoes' offsprings from surviving to adulthood. So what would happen is they put in a gene, like we talked about last week. They snipped out a gene, a self-limiting gene, where the mosquito only lives a certain amount of years. The female does. Because the female is the one that's biting and giving the viruses, right? Says this. GM male mosquito eggs carry the self-limiting gene are released into the area. Once they have hatched and developed through the adult stage, they are available to mate with wild females. The genes are passed on to the offspring. So they put this self-limiting gene in the males. They go out and mate with the females, the wild ones. The genetically modified ones have that gene in it. They go out, mate with the wild mosquitoes that don't have the gene, and put that gene within the female, and they don't live. So when those, they live, but when those eggs hatch, now the eggs that hatch, the new breed, have this new self-limiting gene where they aren't living as long. So that's exactly the article that I'm reading out on the CDC. For those who don't know, Brother Harbell just put the article up. So this is what they did, and this is how they limited or reduced the Zika virus. Now, because that was the whole thing to stop the spread of these viruses that these mosquitoes were bringing. It says, the female die before they become, but the genes are passed on through offspring. The female offspring die before they become adults. As a result, the number of the Aegypti mosquitoes in the area decreased. So the ones that these mosquitoes that was bringing these diseases and everything decreased. But what was the impact on the environment? See, because these mosquitoes still have a part to play within this whole ecosystem thing. The Most High, Yah, did not put those mosquitoes there just to fill space. They're there for a purpose. You know, they are there for a purpose. A lot of birds eat these insects. So now they have this gene within them. Is it affecting the birds? Our food supply gets tainted. It affects us. So what is the effect of this tainted food supply on the other parts of nature that depends on this mosquito? You know? And then they said, you know, I read in other articles, they say that the species never died out. But if these female mosquitoes never make it to adulthood to produce these eggs, you know, they come there and they're in a state where they can't reproduce because they don't make it to adulthood. Then how is it that the species never died out? All you're going to have is these genetically modified males, which carry this self-limiting gene. Eventually, it has to stop because you release them and you release them out into the world, and they're not just going to stay in Texas, and they're not just going to stay in Florida, because we have mosquitoes up here. In Baltimore, I'm pretty sure they have mosquitoes in New York. And whenever the wind blows, these mosquitoes. So how is it going to affect the environment as a whole? Man doesn't look at that. All they're looking at is, okay, it's two. Now, I didn't really look into the Zika virus and the things that it did. I remember a lot of people was getting sick from it. But I do know that Yahweh gave us systems to fight off infection and disease and sickness. And if we strengthen those systems, we can survive a lot of these things. We was talking about, I was talking to a nurse about this whole COVID-19 thing. And one of the things that she was telling me is, one, it's a man-made virus, which I totally agree with. But she was telling me how it works, because it's, by it being classified as a virus, it self-replicates. So we were talking about these people getting shots, getting these vaccines, where the COVID is injected into them. So a lot of people were dying because they actually had COVID before, and their body fought it off. And now they're getting the COVID vaccine, which is giving their body COVID again. But what this gene does, what this virus does, is when they inject it to you, it replicates and keeps on replicating, and there's no shutoff button for it. So a lot of these people were dying of COVID-19 because their body already fought off COVID-19, and then you injected it to them again. So it's not strong enough. Your immune system isn't strong enough to combat it again. And so you succumb to it. You know, because the COVID, it just keeps on going. I was like, you know what? That makes total sense. You say, if you already had COVID, why would you get a vaccine for it? Because your body already built up the antibodies for it. That's the whole point. You know, but nobody's thinking that, because they got this big push for this vaccine. Are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? And that's all you hear. Are you vaccinated? When instead, they should be saying, are you building your immune system? Are you building your immune system? Are you building your immune system? They're not pushing that. They're pushing the vaccination, because that's where the money is. You know? We got to talking about the shingles. Like, it's so funny. How is it that if, as a kid, you catch shingles? I mean, you catch chicken pox. But shingles is supposed to be chicken pox in adulthood. But if your body already made the antibodies for it, it knows to fight that. How did it pop up again? You say shingles is something totally different than chicken pox. It has to be. Because your body identifies these things as they enter into it. You know, when the cold comes, it knows how to fight that cold. Fever comes, it knows how to fight whatever is causing that fever. You know, your body identifies these things. He was like, and I'm sitting up here listening to her, because we was actually talking about, you know, when we had a little some incidents in the kitchen where a couple people had COVID, and I was checking up on my tests. You know, I'm testing negative both times. Told Abba by Abba. You know, but you know, this, she was schooling me on it, but she was asking me, did I take the vaccine? And I said no. She said, good, because I was not taking it myself. I'm a nurse. And I hate asking people, hate advocating for it. That's part of her job. But back to what I was saying, what's happening with these genetic modifications? What is the impact on the environment? What is the impact on the things outside of the mosquitoes? You know? Which leads us into the next part. Now, this comes from, I think it's called The Conversation. Let me check. TheConversation.com. It's from 2 days ago. But this actually happened back in 2019. And the first one, that it happens back in 2019. It happened over in China, and it reads, scientists have created the world's first monkey embryos containing human cells in an attempt to investigate how the two types of cell develop alongside each other. So now you're going to hear the word, what these things are called, chimeras. Now, a chimera, it's a mythical creature. It was part goat, part lion, part snake. You know, it was just, that's in the, that's the way it was. Part goat, part lion, part snake. It says, the embryos, which were derived from a macaque and then injected with a human and then injected with human stem cells in the lab, were allowed to grow 20 days before they were destroyed. It says, oh, okay, we have a term for this type of life form, a chimera, named after the fire-breathing monster of Greek mythology that was part lion, part goat, part snake. It's hoped that part human chimeras, essentially animal bodies with some human organs or other characteristics, might one day offer clues to help us treat human diseases, as well as providing organs. But for these purposes, part human chimeras will first have to be born. And this research takes us one step closer to that eventuality. So, scientists are saying they want to grow these part human, part animal chimeras, organ harvesting, basically. Organs to transplant into humans, et cetera, et cetera. Let's keep reading. It says, that's ethically controversial because these creatures could possess an ambiguous moral status. Sorry. Somewhere between that of humans, which we don't tend to experiment upon, and animals, which we do. How we end up treating part human chimeras will depend upon the moral status that we assign them, a task that these latest embryonic experiments only makes more pressing. There are several rationalizations for pursuing this line of research. Human monkey chimeras could be created to study parts of the brain, for instance, so we could better understand Alzheimer's disease. Another goal is to grow human organs for transplanting by, quote unquote, deleting the relevant organ from the animal's genetic instructions and replacing it with human stem cells to fill the development niche. So they're going to grow this animal up and say, we need a kidney. So what they'll do, genetically cut out the kidney that is being developed in the animal, inject a human stem cell to grow a human kidney, and then harvest it from out of that animal to put into somebody. But wouldn't part of that animal still be within that kidney? Because that's where it's growing from. Let's just look at, like, gardening. You could take part of one tree
and graft it in to another tree. You could take a branch of a tree, graft it in to the tree itself. But because that branch is being fed and it's being grafted in to the tree itself, it starts to take on some of the characteristics of that tree. If that branch had some type of fruit and that tree is growing some type of fruit, those two types of fruit will mix together because it's coming out of, it's getting fed by the tree. You know? Wouldn't that same thing apply to this? Because you're sticking a human stem cell in there, but it's getting fed by a monkey, wouldn't it still have part of that monkey in it? Because that's what's being fed from. It says this. Previously, the same researchers explored this avenue in pigs, seen as ideal because their organs are about the same size as ours. However, not enough human cells took to create a functional chimera, and the research failed. So they tried it in pigs, didn't come up with nothing. Because the human cells didn't take to the pig cells. But it says this, monkeys are evolutionary closer to us, so there's a greater chance that cells will interact effectively with each other. The stated goal of the human-monkey experiments is to understand and perfect the development of chimeras in primates before transferring the technology to pigs. So they say monkeys are closer to us on the evolutionary scale. So it might work better in them. But they're not. See, because when Yahweh made monkeys, he made monkeys. When he made man, he made man. Period. Don't be surprised when these fail to test this. Because eventually they tell on themselves. It says, as we intensively farm and eat pigs, there are thought to be fewer ethical concerns with harvesting organs from pigs. Hence, primate research is a stepping stone, not a goal itself. Further in the future, chimera discoveries could give human capacities found elsewhere in the animal kingdom, like a bat sonar. Now, this part right here comes from another magazine. Let me get it for you. It's called The Scientist, and it was published August 5th, 2019. All right. It says this. Further in the future, chimera discoveries could give human capabilities found elsewhere in the animal kingdom, like a bat sonar. So this is what they're literally trying to do eventually down the line. They're trying to make they're literally trying to make Spider-Man. They literally think, you know, how in the comic books, Gamma Spider bit Peter Parker, and then you get to shoot webs. You took on the traits of a spider. You can climb walls. I want to take a bat, take the brain of a bat. A bat is blind, so it uses the sonar and implant it within the human. Why take monkey DNA and put it into a human? Why? Monkeys are stronger than humans. Can you imagine a man with the strength of a gorilla in the brain of a human? General Grodd off of the Justice League. They're trying to bring these comic books to life. Why do they want to bring these comic books to life? Because if there wasn't there a man who had the strength to rip a lion in half? Wasn't there a man who was strong enough to rip off gates and fight whole wars by himself? Wasn't there a man who could outrun a horse? Huh? What are they trying to do? What are they really trying to do? See? Because think about it. We read in the Maccabees when they read these things about our ancestors, and they said, we got to make gods out of it. They read these real life stories. We got to make gods out of them. No different. But now science is really trying to bring those gods here on Earth. That's what they're really trying to do. They're trying to make gods in their image and after their likeness. We're going to do it our way. Further in the future, Chimera discoveries could give human capabilities found elsewhere in the animal kingdom, like a bat sonar. If we accept moral status based on a creature's capacities, such enhanced humans could one day be regarded as superior to us. What is superior to man right now outside of the Most High? Seeing as we're already struggling with issues of equality between human rights, between human beings, it would seem we're poorly prepared for the ethical challenges presented by future advances in chimera research. That's funny. We can't even see each other as equals based on color, this, that, and another. But we're trying to make superhumans. We're trying to make Captain Americas. The issue of moral status is a philosophical and ethical question. Science might help us in detecting it with information about the extent of a non-human animal's capacities, for instance. But it cannot tell us what it is. The new research shows it's a concept in urgent need of attention. The National Institutes of Health forbid the use of federal funds to create human monkey embryos. China, where is Pusia Belmont's experiments are taking place, has no such restrictions. So the person that's in charge of this, I forget his name, he was based in San Diego. The U.S. would not fund this experiment of his, so he took it to China. And one of the people who funded these people was the Catholics. It says, let me get that. This man's name is Juan Carlos Pusia Belmont of the Salk Institute in San Diego. is spearheading the project with scientists from his own lab and those from the Merkia Catholic University in Merkia, Spain. Team wants to develop chimeras, organisms composed of cells of two or more species capable of growing human organs. Now, again, the U.S. government wouldn't do it. So what they did was they took it over to China, where there is no such restrictions. It says, the crux of controversy, according to The Guardian, is that it is difficult to restrict human cell growth just to one organ of interest. So they can't pick which cell they're going to grow. Because as the embryo grows, it's still developing. It's not like it can't, okay, I want to grow this kidney. And now the spinal cord and the nervous system and all this stuff just stops because you want to grow a kidney. You know, it's still an embryo. It's still going to grow. He says it's difficult to restrict human cell growth just to one organ of interest. Should a human-animal hybrid develop a human-like nervous system capable of consciousness or be brought to term and display human-like behaviors, the ethical consequences could be extreme. So let's say this bird. I used to hear, there's an old story that they would talk about shrimp. They said, you never see the head of a shrimp because it looks like a baby when you first catch them. I don't know how true it is, but this is an old story that people told me. So they always cut the head off a shrimp. Whenever you saw a shrimp sold, they always cut the head off. They say it had real fine hair and this, that, and another. You know? But they don't want to see stuff like that. So now you're growing a half human, half monkey. If it displays human characteristics, now all of a sudden you're thinking it's a baby or it's a human, and I can't kill another human. But if it acts like a monkey, it's cool to kill. If it acts like a pig, it's cool to kill. When ethically speaking, you shouldn't be harvesting this stuff. You shouldn't be doing that. What about faith? What about these stories? Because man is trying to go about it. That's another way he's trying to play God. He's trying to get the glory of God. I'm trying to take his weightiness away. See, because if a scientist can do this, now all hail science. Who needs God? Because I can just get this thing. It was the hagfish? Okay, told out. It was the hagfish, what we call steakfish, that this story was about. Looked like a baby. You never saw the head on it. But who needs God if we can do it? What I got to have faith for? I could just grow and grow this thing I need. I need a kidney. I need an organ. Fine. Let's just go grab one off. Don't ask for it to be healed. Don't increase my faith, you know, in the Most High. None of that. Don't let him show his power in my weakness. Don't let him show his glory in what he's capable of. Mm-mm. All hail science. This is your God. You want to stop the bad things from happening, Alzheimer's, and this, that, and another? Mm-mm. Don't put the herbs and the stuff that the Most High put within this earth to keep you and sustain you. Mm-mm. Cut this gene out. Put a new gene in. All hail science. And whatever disease you can think of, let's not put the work in. That Yahweh say, put the work in. Mm-mm. All hail science. But Yahweh said this. Isaiah 42:8. He says, I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So you can kind of make all these things you want. It's no difference. It's no different than when back in the day, back in older times, the man would cut the wood and fashion the image, bow down to the wood, and Yahweh said, look, you take that image, it falls down, you got to pick it up. You cut part of it to keep you warm. You cut another part of it to cook your food. And then you ask it for something. It's no different. Because you're not coming to the source. You're not coming to the creator. You want to go about it your way. You can't go about it your way. It's not given to you to go about it your way. All these things can be done with faith and time. But every man wants a shortcut. Every man wants to get the glory. And nobody wants to give Yahweh his praise. That we woke up. The fact that we opened our eyes. The fact that we see another day. He won. His praise is what he deserves. The fact that even if you're having a bad day, the fact that you can have a bad day, the fact that you can argue or fuss or whatever you're doing right now, the fact that he's allowing that, he's worthy to be praised. That's him. You know, like we read last week, we got to learn to glory through all things, the good and the bad, the hot, the cold, the infirmity, and the peace. Hard lesson. So let's get to it. You know, but just to follow up on things that man is doing. And I say all that to say this. Personally, if you need medicine, if you to that point, use it. But be careful. Because we know stuff like the Tuskegee experiments went down. And in the name of science, were lied to, killed, and struck with diseases unknowingly. And man has just got worse and worse. You never know what they're putting up in you. You know, so stay prayed up. You know, if you have to get a needle or whatever, you know, get it if it's dire emergency. You know, but do what we need to do to stay out of those positions is what I'm trying to say. Because we don't know what they're putting in us. We don't know. And this has just been, to me, the whole thing with this COVID and these masks and this, that, and another is just one big science experiment, a big worldwide science experiment. Some people back to life as it was, some aren't. You know, so be careful, family. That's all. Stay prayed up and listen to Abba. You know, he's not going to lead us down any wrong paths. He's going to keep us and show us the right way. All right, family? So, not a long one today, but I pray Abba gave everybody what they needed. You know, I pray he gave you what you need. You know, he watered you a little bit, planted the seed a little bit, and gave you what you need individually as well as collectively. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy all your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Father, we thank you once again for this Shabbat. We thank you once again for this breath of life. We thank you once again for your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding. We pray, Father, that you continue to strengthen us, lead us, and guide us. We pray, Father, that you continue to allow us to overcome the things and the devices that our adversary has for us, Father. Continue to show us the way around. Continue to give us the strength to overcome. Continue to grow us, Father, in your word. Continue to have us look out and pray for one another. Help one another when need be. Go out and talk to one another. Get advice from one another. Depend on one another. Be our brothers and our sisters' keepers, as your word says, Father. Father, we ask that you put your spirit in our brother Ariel as he brings forth your word this day. Fill him up. Allow him to dispense your word, Father, and give us what we need individually and collectively, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, fam.
I was born by the river in a little tent in wool, like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, well. It's been too hard to live, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. See, I go to the movie, and then I go downtown. hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change don't come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. I said, brother, oh my brother, help me please. Then he winds up knocking me. Oh, keep knocking me, keep knocking me back down on my knees. And whoa, that was time when I thought I wouldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it did.